Knock, knock, guess who is knocking at your door? That's right, you know it's the morning for sure. Might be a geography, it could be. Maybe it's Mitt Romney. You know you love This Week in Mormons, original Mormon news. If you love Lindsey Sterling, Bryce Harper in Utah, and Jell-O salad foods, oh, you're gonna love this show.
Welcome, everyone, to This Week in Mormons. What a time we have for you this week. We're here. I'm putting on my best radio voice. I've got my nicest shirt on and my best pair of shorts, and I'm sitting, as they say, Indian style, which can't be politically correct anymore.
What is that? Cross-legged.
Cross-legged. I like that that became known as Indian style, because back in the
day... You know who always sits cross-legged? The Indians.
What you should do this weekend is find the Ute Reservation, which I'm assuming is out there somewhere. And
I think that's actually a college campus now. Yeah, they have beautiful native foods like the Pie Pizzeria, things of that nature.
As Reagan said, trust but verify. Always live by those rules. Always live by that mantra.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It means you choose to trust your friend who also has nuclear weapons, but you still make sure that they're playing by the rules. But you can apply that.
Like what George W. Bush does.
Oh, absolutely. You say, I trust you, Saddam, that you do have weapons of mass destruction.
I trust that you don't, but let me go in there and make sure.
And we're going to find out. It's worked across the board for centuries. It's the best program you can engage
in. It's what Abraham Lincoln always used to say, I'll look into it.
It's why we do home teaching reporting. I trust the brethren in my quorum, but I still verify with them. Right?
You must verify.
You have
As Winston Churchill always said, to verify is to know.
And that is something up with which I shall not put, is what he also said.
Bros before hoes, he would say.
Also,
but
a
what happens when your hoe ain't your bro no more?
No more. Thanks. Thank you, Michael Scott. I've got a newer colleague at work who knows Arrested Development very well, so it's been a delight. He sits right next to me, and we probably annoy everybody else with random obscure references to the program throughout the day and everything we do.
Give me an example of one of these interactions.
Oh, I don't know. It could be anything. See, now you put me on the spot. I'm trying to think of any specific. It's a lot of the classics that we all know, you know?
Yeah, the great ones. The good ones.
There's so many. I think I sat there once and I was just like, everyone is laughing and riding and cornholing except Buster. like if we were talking about somebody being
Buster, you can't do that on the balcony, buddy.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun things. It's great, and I don't think our other colleagues know what we're doing, but we don't care. We don't care. So anyway, how are you doing, Al? I believe you are in the great the Pioneer State, I believe is its official nickname. Yes, isn't that what they call it?
That's where I am. That's where I am, Jeff. I'm
believe
here
Utah is
for
called
a brief moment.
The Keystone State? Is that no, the Show Me State.
I went to Philadelphia and ate at Chickie and Pete's. Chicken and Pete's. Chickie Pete's. I don't know
what that is, but it sounds delightful. They
have good crab fries there. That's what they're famous for. And then I flew back here. This last weekend we had our big store opening.
It looked delightful.
It was a treat. We did a Facebook Live video.
I saw your mom wasn't ready at first, so it was
Facebook Live now. That's the future, apparently.
That's a thing. Everyone's doing
it. I'm still not sure about how, like in my day-to-day life, I would ever use Facebook Live. I appreciate it as an option, but we've always had that option with things like, I don't know, there's all kinds of streamcasting portals that we've used before, but the fact that it notifies your audience and things. I mean, maybe I'm just trying to figure out, like, me as a layperson, as a business, I use it to promote. But
we should probably be doing it right now from our own Facebook page.
All right, let's do it.
I mean, what are we doing here? Oh, one of us has to take control. Actually, I don't know how this works.
Well, we can't Facebook Live like from Skype.
Well, I know, but it might just like dual the webcam. I don't even know how to do it. Here's our page. Where do I click go live?
Right? It's only on the mobile, I think.
What? This does nothing for me. This is useless.
This.
I hate I hate Facebook.
We could Facebook Live only one side of the conversation.
This is
and
why
everybody
all the kids,
can watch along with us.
This is why all the kids are using Snapchat now. All this nonsense stuff. Let's see here. I'm looking at the mobile app too.
You don't see it, huh, buddy?
No dice.
Man, well.
Event, promote. It's got to be somewhere. But come on, you're the professional.
Well, let me go pull it up.
No, don't. You know what? We'll do whatever you want.
You know what? Yeah, so anyway, it was a good week for me. I don't have a new coworker with the rest of development prowess.
Yeah, but instead, you have a lot of subordinates who both fear you and love you.
There's an office quote I want to reach somewhere in there, but I can't quite. I don't know it. I can't remember.
Yeah, you know it. Don't lie. It's okay. So, well, that's exciting, Al. Glad to hear that you were busy doing good things. Have you high counseled lately? You haven't spoken to the people.
I speak on Sunday. So tomorrow I fly to Minneapolis, naturally. All my Minneapolis peeps, give me a what? Don't really, though. And then
I believe last time when you were in New York and you said, let's get together, people. And
then somebody tried to actually get together with me. And I was like, no, I'm not going to ride 2 hours to Brooklyn to come say hello. I love you. You know I love you. But I'm staying up in Midtown and it is not worth the subway ride. But the offer was you come down here and we could drive another hour to go to a cemetery that some random lady in Alabama wants him to go to. I was like, this does not sound like fun to me.
No offense, listeners. Just, you know, just all things considered.
Just know that if you need me to drive to you, I will not come. This is true in love and friendship.
And if you're in Minneapolis, you have to come to him and you have to be familiar with the Mighty Ducks trilogy. I think that's a given.
Quack, quack,
you
quack,
need to be
quack,
able to drive
quack,
Al
quack.
Around and show him the filming locations
was that,
of the trilogy.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Right? Take the famed Mighty Ducks tour. It really rivals the Sound of Music tour in Salzburg.
Is there a Mighty Ducks tour?
Oh, there has to be.
I would take it.
And I hope they do ride the Ducks.
On a That Thing You Do tour in Orange?
Yeah, you mean the area where I grew up, where it's just a place you go to eat food now?
Well, no, we drove miles to get there. We weren't in Placentia anymore.
And to give you an idea how many miles we drove, it's a place I've regularly visited my whole life just to go get brunch on a Saturday. But yes, it was crazy.
It was not down the street. We had to drive to it, Jeff.
Well, you know, most of Southern California, not exactly a walkable community. They're not very into that. They're trying to be in some places. But
they're the worst. It is
Orange County is still suburban paradise. That's the idea.
Orange County is the worst.
But Old Town Orange is has its character. Unlike a lot of places after World War II and the United States across the country that had older parts of older towns, in many of these instances, the municipalities tore them down to build suburban paradise. This little area, Orange, California, refused, and it's why it still has some character compared to many of the other suburbs in Southern California.
Oh, does it have character? Where are the orange groves, Jeff? Answer me
that.
There
are no more. I think the last orange grove went down in Orange County some time ago. It's over.
Yeah. For shame. You know how long it takes to grow an orange tree? A long time.
Years. Months even, I hear.
Multiple years. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. Yep, 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 yep.
It's a good Land Before Time reference. Anyway, so.
Hey, you got it, Ducky.
Yeah, I know. I was right there with you. You tried to beat me, but I wouldn't let you. Anyway, so it's quite the week, man. I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be back and living life as a dream. But yeah, so I'm back speaking in Missouri after I fly home from Minneapolis.
What is your
where I was trying to go with that.
What's the topic? Give us some spiritual.
All our topics until the end of time are the Sabbath day.
Oh, you guys are really pushing hard on the whole best day thing, huh?
So here's my angle. I take something random. I speak about whatever I want, and then tie it in at the end to the Sabbath day. Boom, nailed it.
Say, by the way, it's Sunday. Here we are. Boom, Sabbath.
Let me talk to you a little bit about charity. You know when it's great to practice charity? The Sabbath. Let me speak to you about repentance. You know when repentance is good? The Sabbath day.
Because you could use all these great New Testament examples, though. How the Savior forgave people on Sunday. How the Savior engaged in works on the Sabbath.
And I just slip it in. You know, this is how I teach. I don't tell them I'm talking about the Sabbath day. It's on the DL. I just slip it in there.
It's that big M. Night Shyamalan moment at the end when everyone just says, what are you serious?
And then they all exclaim with one voice, just as subjects to Benjamin did in the Book of Mormon. We love the Sabbath day.
Yes.
That's how it goes. Say,
the lady was in the water all along? That's a reference to one of his worst films.
What is
the
that?
The Lady in the Water.
Oh, I thought that
the
was...
The Lady in the Water, when Bryce Dallas Howard lives in a pool. In a
are you sure that's not from Kazam with Shaquille O'Neal?
It's very close. They're kind of kindred spirits. I want to call them second
Have you
second
seen
cousins.
Shazam?
Once in my life, and it's actually Kazam. Kazam.
Oh, isn't Kazam.
Shazam bank, was the name
my
of your
bank.
My
bank was Shazam. yes, I knew there was a thing. Kazam.
You tell me you don't bank with Shazam anymore? I thought Shazam held all of the assets of you know, your work,
what?
Your portfolios, whatever it may be. Shazam does it all.
One would think, you know, one would
Stop
think.
Stop yawning.
Sorry, that was one time. Anyway, Jeff, we have Mormon
Shazam
things.
Bank. I'm looking up Shazam.
We have Mormon
you can get
news.
EFTs through Shazam. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. By the way, I had a nice first Father's Day. Thanks for asking. It was lovely.
Oh, Father's Day. Because you have a baby now.
It was my day. It was my day.
Wait, what did Guy do for you? Was it worth all of the money you paid for his diapers and formula?
Oh, yeah. He got me a card. Gave me a hug.
Did he, like, handprint on this card?
Admittedly, he did. We get some handprint action. Admittedly, the nicest thing was that I'd been away from my wife and son for a week as they were in California. They came back Saturday night. That was very nice. That seriously, that alone was lovely.
And your eyes lit up.
It's gonna be
your
fun.
Eyes lit up.
At first, you think it's going to be fun to, you know, have a little bachelor time, but you get bored after a bit, and you find yourself just sitting around eating some. Heated up meal from Trader Joe's, watching Netflix for 6 hours after you get off work. That's how your day goes. You sink into a depression. I was inches away from going to Popeyes. Inches
from the best decision inches. Of your week. So your kid came home. Saying. That was the big gift. So congratulations.
Yeah, I'll say. I'll
your
say
wife
so,
did not
nice.
Leave you. That is the no. sum of all of this. She came
and,
home.
And my ward. My ward has a goofy tradition.
Who's murdering tiny birds back there?
I don't know. There's ratcheting dolls in the back room or something. I don't know what's happening back there. People, there's a professional experience happening.
Excuse me.
I said good day.
I'm kind of in the middle of something.
Whatever. Anyway, the point is my ward does pie for all the men on Father's Day. It's a tradition. They get a bunch of pies.
Sounds delicious.
It's lovely. Our bishop, for some reason this year, usually we'll just get out of our priesthood a little bit early in the third hour. This year the bishop said, let's start with the pie and then go to our class. I bet you can see where this is going.
Oh, this was a post-Sunday school.
Yeah,
moment.
This is during third hour. This happens during the priesthood session. During the priesthood hour. But when you start with the pie, there was no class. We had no class. Instead, everyone just...
Yeah, that's a classic rule of the sort of object grabber. You don't lead with refreshments. Otherwise, they're sitting there eating
I think
candy
there was a weird thought that maybe we'd take our pie and then go to class, but we knew this was never going to happen. It just didn't work out. But
you stood in the gym and talked
that's
and ate
basically
pie.
What happened for half an hour. Yep, that's what happened. Though the great thing was...
I don't necessarily have a problem with that.
The great thing was the lesson that it corresponded to in the Howard W. Hunter manual was come and feast at the table of the Lord. So...
You lived
so
that
it was
message.
Perfect, and that's all.
In that moment, you lived feasting on the pie of the Lord.
So...
Well, that sounds delicious. We had a Hershey bar, which I don't know if you've had a Hershey bar lately, Jeff.
No, I avoid American chocolate, of course, because, you know, why would you want that?
They're quite bad.
It's yeah, wax. It's, you're just eating wax.
You're not quite sure. Yeah, you're not quite sure what you're eating. And they're it's just like chocolate with nothing. I haven't done that.
No,
in
it's
a long
no
time.
Good. Can't do it. Sometimes my work buys the Hershey nuggets, but I don't eat it unless I can get the toffee almond ones. Otherwise, it's just not worth it.
Now you're talking. That's my boy.
So,
all right.
Mormon news, everybody. You know, the usual reason you show up, presumably.
Well,
anyway.
We have the hard-hitting news first.
This week, no,
if
this
I
week
may.
We're going to call soft-hitting news. That's, you know, and that's okay.
No.
No? Okay, I'm sorry.
Let me tell you about a little man named Earl.
We're leading Earl off with is Earl. A dog. I really thought Earl would come at the end to keep people around longer, but okay.
Earl is a dog. He is the first porn-sniffing dog. Now, I want you to take a moment because I know what you're thinking. No, my brother is the first porn-sniffing dog. Not true. Not true. We're talking about Earl today. Earl is a dog that's been trained to sniff out things like SD cards, internet browsing histories, things of that nature. He can find with his trained nose. And they named him Earl. Wait for it. I'm sorry. U-R-L. How clever. Thank you. And I'm going to give you, Jeff, one guess of where Earl, the porn-sniffing dog, is stationed.
Oh, the San Fernando Valley.
You would think it would be right. The San Fernando Valley.
I feel like
Valley.
That's, you know,
it,
that's where the industry is.
Then you would think maybe Gilbert, Arizona. No.
Potentially
then you would
that.
Think Kaysville. No. Definitely Utah, though. We're getting closer. Ogden. He's in Ogden.
Oh, that's fitting.
The child pornography sniffing dog is in Ogden, Utah. So now we have a dog named Earl that can find SD cards. Also helpful if you have actual valid data on there. I feel like he'd also be able to help find that.
I like the
mainly
the image they share says Earl finds a cell phone. Now, an SD card is one thing. A cell phone sitting on a table, it's not the most inconspicuous item for a dog, you know.
Also, how does a cell phone smell? Mine would smell like my left thigh.
Yeah, or like
how
your
does
face.
He know that scent?
He just knows. That is interesting that they can train dogs that way, though. I mean, it's trained to smell the chemicals found on electronic media of that variety. He is trained to sniff that stuff out. And as
in
such,
that picture where he found the cell phone, he looks very sad. I think he has a bad life.
Well, he was given up. Let's see here. I think like twice. Twice given up by families to shelters before he got a career in law enforcement.
Boy, that's a rough, playful 17-month black lab.
Two different families did not want him. That's actually kind of sad, the poor little fella. So maybe now he's doing the better work. I don't know.
Listen, Earl, you hang in there, buddy. You hang in there. If my job was find child porn all day, I would feel pretty depressed too. My eyes would be black and soulless just like Earl's. But thankfully, that's his job, not mine.
Absolutely. Some sad news here out of Oklahoma in Tulsa.
This was crazy.
Yeah. So a woman named Megan Blair, 29 years old, mother of two children, was out with her husband, I believe, supervising a Mormon youth pioneer trek, as they do this time of year. And then she died this past Monday, so on the 20th of June. And afterwards, I said it was because of heart-related issues, and she died.
They were talking about like heat stroke and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
they were on. Let's see, it was near the end of a 7-mile hike through 95-degree heat, and she was transported by helicopter to Tulsa, where she passed away. That sucks. I wonder if this means, folks, let's eat.
I have like a sarcastic reaction in my head, and then I have a very like sad and empathetic reaction.
Start
in my
with
head.
Sarcasm, and then bring it back around to empathy, or do whatever you want. Okay.
Okay.
Go.
Wait, I can't hear you, Jeff. Where'd you go?
I don't know. What did you do now? Al. Can you hear me
there
now?
There you are. You're back.
Did you unplug your headphones there, buddy?
No, I didn't. I need to go get other headphones. Hang on a sec. So obviously a terrible thing to have happen. To die on this church, this youth outing. Like, I can't imagine going to an EFY dance and, you know, passing out and then somebody like actually dying through that. And I can't imagine, you know, the emotions of the kids there, the emotions of the person that planned this and was there running it, or maybe they felt like they should cancel it and they didn't. Like, that's a lot to live with. And I can't imagine being the husband who was there with her on this trek and
right
having your wife, you know, get heat stroke, which is not, I mean, I feel like people get heat stroke all the time. You're like, let's lay down, go to some shade and get some water. But then to have her die is just crazy. On the other side of that, like, it wasn't an unreasonable. I mean, it's a 7 mile hike.
Yeah, but it's hot, and we don't know the shape anyone is in. We don't know if there were underlying health issues that were not diagnosed.
I think the takeaway is just true to yourself.
That's the lamest takeaway you've ever had.
If you,
this is not a Saturday morning tea.
Jeff, if you need to take a break, take a break.
Okay, well, I'm not going to chalk this up to failure to take a break. We have no idea.
We have no clue. But please don't respond to this with, like, banning. Not that I have a huge testimony of Trek either.
Treks are stupid. They're dumb.
All right. On our end, yes. Yes,
okay.
They are.
I don't need to saddle up and go about the Trek to
empathize.
But
imagine you're a youth leader and you're trying to give some meaningful experience to a bunch of kids. Taking them out on a big, big walk with a wagon wheel is a great way to lead some conversation.
I'm sure it's very exciting. You could also just take them to a baseball game and talk about it while you're there.
There's
just as much
Jesus
fun.
Is not in baseball.
Hello, my favorite team is the Angels. Pretty sure that's some. I mean, come on.
There's an angel with you right now, Charlie. No, let me emphasize again. This is like the most traumatic, awful thing that could possibly happen.
But I have to wonder, like you just said, you know, let's not overreact. Let's not say, hey, no more treks for better or worse. But you have to wonder, like, well, should Salt Lake evaluate this and at least say the treks are fine? But, like, you know,
are treks Salt Lake sanctioned? Is this a top thing?
They're not forbidden. I'm sure Salt Lake is aware of them. Just if, like, in general, activities.
It's a hike. You can't forbid hikes.
Basically, when are we going to get to a point where Salt Lake is going to have to say, you know, if weather doesn't permit something, if it's not favorable condition?
Well, what's 90 degrees is not like if I woke up and it was like,
yeah, I don't know,
it's going to be warm today. I'm not thinking I should cancel all my plans.
Well, I understand. I'm just saying, you know, does it merit something?
You want a communist, a dictatorship of a central church is what you're asking for.
Sure,
you're absolutely giving up your freedoms.
Collective ownership of the church, all of us.
Well, ish, yeah.
We'll live in awesome apartment blocks.
You are really good at being a seminary teacher, so you're going to be that.
I should work for CES. That's the dream.
Yeah, if they would just sponsor the show.
I would be the worst seminary teacher ever. I'd be the worst institute teacher, too. It'd be terrible.
It's actually true.
I know. It'd be awful. So, and again, our thoughts with the families involved in all of this.
Crazy. I mean,
it's crazy that this happened.
That
in general.
That sucks. That would be the. I'm just putting myself in the mind of the husband, right? Like, how awful. How awful would that be to come home from that trip?
I mean, you're just trying to do a good thing, you know, and reach the kids and help them.
Yep.
Sort of in keeping with pioneer-ish stuff, I guess. You're familiar with Zion's Camp. I hope most of you are. The famed story when Joseph Smith took a band of folks from, I don't remember where it started.
A band of brothers from World War II.
Took a band of brothers from one place. And the point was, I believe, to get to Jackson County, Missouri, right? Get back some, go on a quest. It was a quest. Correct, Al? Give us a primer on Zion's Camp.
I'm not sure that I remember it correctly either. They were either going, he was raising people from Jackson County and going to Kirtland, if I remember right. They made it like partway.
They were supposed to go there. They were going that far? It was actually pretty far, wasn't it?
And then they ended up turning around.
They were trying to regain their homes in Jackson County.
It was a long hike. No battle was fought.
I think it was supposed to be Kirtland to Missouri. That was the plan. No. Not the other way around. So,
well, then they did make it.
But they didn't make it in the end. People got sick. People passed away. A lot of stuff happened.
They made
it a long
almost,
trek.
Though.
They made it almost, and while there, of course, Joseph Smith received various revelations. He called it Zion's Camp. It was almost a concept of an army, a militia of sorts that was going to take care of these things. But they never made it. Lots of trials. Lots of interesting things happened. There's a great seminary video, if you've never seen it. It's quite excellent. So now, if you're in Salt Lake, folks, on Thursday, the 23rd of June, at the Assembly Hall on Temple Square
at 7
p.m.
This is going to be tomorrow. So today, as you're listening to this, if you were in Salt Lake City at this moment.
I'm just saying, you might be thinking you're going to go to the H&M over at City Creek, like, hey, I need some modest clothing. Then what I need to do is go across the street and visit with Dr. Matthew C. Godfrey, the general editor and managing historian of the Joseph Smith Papers, where he will talk about Zion's Camp, particularly divine intervention or the lack thereof.
Wait, so, in Zion's so camp.
And this is sponsored by the church. This isn't some this isn't some like naysayer Sunstone crap. You know what I'm saying, folks? This is real.
This is Dr. Leo Marvin. What is it? What? Why is he talking about
Dr.
this?
Dr. Marvin.
What is his qualification? Like, why are we listening to him?
My assumption is, unlike Kevin Barney, he is not a coward, and he is.
That's all we need to know. I like the idea of studying Zion's camp. I like it. I like it in terms of some of the theme there, because there's two ways of sort of reading through it. One is the idea of you know, the Lord may lead us with a carrot down one path and take us to another, and you know the idea of you know, him giving us hard things, sort of the refiner's fire for us to learn things. Because the interesting thing about Zion's camp, so many, I mean, if you look at the roster of people that were faithful in Zion's camp, that's a lot of our church leaders that came shortly thereafter. It really was the refiner's fire that set the tone for you know, most of the brethren that led the church thereafter. And so you can either look at it as like as this sort of a failure of an escapade was divine and intentional, or you can look at it the other way and say, you know, maybe the Lord does not care about leading us on a wild goose chase, so to speak. You know, perhaps Joseph made a mistake and they weren't supposed to do this, and it wasn't divine at all. And it was just a hard thing. And then people exhibited a positive attitude or didn't. And it was more a manifestation of their character than anything else. And because I'm not convinced that every bad thing that happens to us is divine. I don't know that everything is given to us for a reason. I'm not sure that I believe that. I think that sometimes bad things happen and it exposes character. And when good things happen, that too exposes character. And like the Lord has hands in things of meat or weight, but not everything.
Well, and not only that, I mean, the Lord, if we are properly pious or what have you, if we develop our relationship with the Lord, that is how the Lord influences us in situations, even if it's not direct involvement per se from on high in every given situation. Because I do believe that a lot of the time God is hands off. You know, he teaches us good things, and life still happens based on our choices, and sometimes based off none of our choices, stuff just happens to us. But how we've allowed the gospel to permeate us, how we've allowed the atonement to permeate us, will reflect in the choices we make and the reactions we take in a given situation, right? I mean, so we can be better people overall because of our relationship with God, no matter the origin.
Now the broad takeaway is how much good came out of this seemingly
more
purposeless event,
more good than bad.
Right? Like a lot of good came from it. The revelations, the brethren. The associations that were formed, all of that stuff came from this. And so I mean, I kind of like thinking about this to understand for myself how I understand the Lord and how he interacts with our day-to-day lives to be. Mm-hmm. Because this is, I mean, it's actually pretty meaningful stuff. And so if you get a chance to go and think more on it, you should take the time.
I've always wondered what I need to look up the route of Zion's camp, because I picture them just on horseback going from Kirtland to almost
Independence. They took 80 over towards Sioux Falls and dropped down to 70.
Yeah.
Well, they were on 29 south. Maybe 35 for a ways.
I'm just saying, if they didn't take advantage of the Ohio River, missed opportunity, people.
It was in the wintertime.
It'll take you to St. Louis, then just go up the Missouri and boom, you're there. It's happening. Quick pit stop in Jeff City.
You take the Mark Twain Trail is what you do. Yeah,
go
stay,
up to Hannibal.
Stay with Mark
for fun.
He's great. So Jeff, did you get a chance to watch the Mr. Holland video on depression?
You mean Mr. Holland's Opus?
Dr. Holland, Mr. Opus. No, so Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, who several years ago gave a talk, sort of a landmark talk in conference on depression. And those who...
Ah, yes. Like a broken vessel.
That's right. So he released a video, a big Facebook post talking about it this week. But it's a video that is actually, I mean, pretty powerful. It's a video of of him sort of addressing or sharing some address about depression and people that are battling it, sort of talking about what their life is like and how they're dealing with it, and how they're accessing the atonement to make, you know, sort of help themselves. Right. pretty powerful stuff. Mainly it's like, I love that we're talking about this. I love that there are mental health issues that are being discussed as normal. I love that we're more and more making like therapy and going and seeking help and looking for, you know, needing medication and all that stuff, that's no longer taboo, which I think for a long time in our church, it sort of was. It wasn't official. Oh, like, sure. There was nobody saying, sure, do not go and get help for this stuff. But it was the culture was very much like, if you are faithful enough and you love Jesus enough, you won't need a doctor.
Yeah. Just pray it all away, fast it all away, and you're set.
I like that we're coming on the other side of that, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole subdomain, mentalhealth.lds.org, which I didn't, you know, go figure. We've got a billion subdomains, but I didn't even know that was a thing. Go check it out. Learn about mental health and what the church is doing to try to help people in this sense. And it's so good that we're embracing the reality of the fact that there are people who struggle with eating disorders, with thoughts of suicide, with schizophrenia, who are victims of sexual abuse. The list goes on. And I think so often we wanted to sweep those sorts of things under the rug, just not, you know, really engage on the issue. But now we do. At least we're trying to. I mean, we're not perfect with it by any means, but we are trying to engage on the issue. And I think that's so vital, because we have to remember that the church is here to offer us these things. They're here to have a resource like mentalhealth.lds.org. We have divine leaders. You have a bishop, hopefully, who's very helpful. But of course, bear in mind, even your bishop is not a trained counselor necessarily. They go to counseling training. They do. But get in touch. We have the ability to get in touch with.
Yeah, don't lean on. Don't lean on the church is the be all end all. The church is sort of the vessel of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not your doctor.
And this stuff,
right?
No, but this stuff can be a start, and Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. You've got stuff to work out, talk with your bishop, and hopefully move from there if needs be. There's no taboo in needing help.
Really, what I hear you saying, Jeff, is don't wait for the Relief Society to start the Tybo class. Just go to Tybo.
Well, if Billy Blanks can't fix it for you, I don't know who will.
Respect.
Yeah. But this is good stuff. There's nothing wrong with it. Before my mission, I briefly...
I'm going to a therapist now. I love it.
I was very stressed out. I thought I might have had depression. And he just said, he's like, no, I think you're just stressed out with like a mission and all that. I said, okay, that's good. But I didn't know. I didn't know. I was feeling really down all the time and just kind of had a negative
view. I try and work into like every talk or presentation I give that I am actively seeing a therapist right now. And it's been exceptionally healthy and helpful for me. And like, I think we all have sort of a duty to normalize some of that, because just like this video is doing, it's normalizing the idea that struggle is real and you're not a little person for struggling. You're not less of a person because things are hard and you need help. So don't let that sort of permeate.
Yeah. Amen. I'd like to pivot here for a second. It's time that we revisited our friend Kevin Beckstrom. It's time that we went to the Zarahemla Times. We're doing a mid-show this time around. Mid-show. For those of you who are newer to This Week in Mormons, we don't do this as often as we used to. This used to be a weekly occurrence
sent a cease and desist letter. We were actively sending traffic to his site trying to get people to...
The cease and desist was because we were copying his images, putting them on our site, hyperlinking the images to his webpage. We were doing him a favor, but he chose not to see it that way. We were clearly trying to profit on his quote-unquote intellectual property. Now,
this guy's
in
such
honor
a weird
of this,
dude.
It was Father's Day. It was Father's Day, so we say, let us go and visit Mr. Beckstrom and see what he's put up. And
it's
he
a weekly. There are literally zero comments on every one of these.
It's the family circus, but in Zarahemla. So I will. I'm about to as I fashion myself a storyteller, I will read to you this three-cell comic briefly before we move on. This is our intermission. It starts off with some young whippersnapper who says, do you know any stories about Nephi's brother Jacob? And some grandma person with a book that says family history says, I do. And clearly we jump to a story. And it's an old man, Rip Van Winkle sort of thing going on here. And he says, did I ever tell you kids the one about the wild olive trees?
In chorus.
And the Nephite children say, yes, in chorus. Well said. And then cut back to the little boy. Is that why Enos spent so much time in the woods? Grandma says, I'm not
and
saying.
This is what baffles me is that... Is it?
And there we have it. There
I mean, it's not funny.
Maybe
it's not interesting. It's not.
Al, maybe this is his therapy. Maybe it's art therapy. I don't know. Maybe. That's
I mean, the next
on
one. They're standing in front of a garden. Now what? Now we wait. No. Now we weed. Says the girl. Like what? Why? What is? What is your inspiration? What is motivating you to make these unfunny comics? I don't understand. I do not understand this man's drive, but he, say what you will, he is consistent.
Extremely consistent. And when we started this show, he did the comic in black and white. He's upgraded color over the years we've done this. He's that dedicated. So my challenge to all of you, either Google Zarahemla Times and you will find it, or we will link to his website, not with any of his intellectual property, just a link to his website on the post with this episode.
So weird.
Episode 333.
Why is this a thing?
And leave a comment. We want to troll the commenting once more like we did years ago. We encourage you all to do this, and a bevy of you showed up and just plastered comments on one of his things.
This Week in Mormons sent us. All right.
So that's the plan. I hope he looks at analytics and sees what we're up to. So, Kevin Beckstrom, once again, this episode is an honor.
I have sort of an Independence Day frame in my head of like, we're back.
That's the worst part of that.
I can't wait for the number two. I am incredibly optimistic about this.
It comes out this weekend.
I cannot wait, Jeff.
It's currently at 44% on the old tomatoes that are rotten.
I heard it's wildly entertaining, says Marie Claire magazine.
I'm sure it's incredible. I'm sure it's just going to be the best.
Reader's Digest calls it enthralling.
In another quick bit of news, a few weeks ago and months before that, we talked about the church's involvement with the Freedmen's Bureau Project, which sought to index the records of countless African Americans going back to the Civil War era. It's been a very complicated project. It's been very difficult because a lot of these people have assumed, you know, their ancestry might be lost given history with slavery in the United States. But now the church has said, guess what? The project is done. And they were preparing this in advance of the opening of the National Museum of
Mission accomplished,
history.
They say. We've done the history of all the slaves.
So it's happened, but it's pretty impressive. Almost 19,000 volunteers signed up for this, and they indexed nearly 1.8 million records.
Yep.
Which is pretty insane.
We're kind of hustling the volunteers there for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, others were involved, of course, but we've played a very big role in this. Even at the opening of the museum, the church will have a presence there to help out. It's a very cool thing we're doing. So, major update there. It's all done. We're ready to go. Let's go.
Major update.
Boom.
That was a How I Met Your Mother reference.
Remember Major Dad?
Major Dad, show?
It was a sitcom, you know, a family sitcom, but it was funny because Dad was a major in the Army. So
was it a cartoon?
No, it was a live action one. It was like Dabney Coleman was on it or Corbin somebody. I choose to believe it was Dabney Coleman.
You're thinking
Coleman,
of Tony Danza. Who's the Boss is what that one was called.
No, Major Dad.
Whatever, Jeff.
It was a real show,
right?
A real TV series, an American sitcom created by Richard C. Oakey and John Stevens that ran from 1989 to 1993, starring Gerald McRaney, Shanna Reed, Beverly Archer, and John Cypher.
Rick Oakey.
It aired on CBS.
All right. So let's see. Jana Reese did a interview with
shocking
with who is this woman, Fiona.
It's Fiona Givens, who's a noted Mormon author who sells.
She looks like a member of the Brady Bunch, but she seems like a nice lady. She's written a book,
The Crucible of Doubt. It's a very famous book.
She's got some stuff, all right. And then she's got The Perfect Union of Man and Woman, an essay thing. But essentially, she argues that in the early days of the church. Mm-hmm. That women were intended to have the priesthood, and in fact, they did have bits of the priesthood given to them, that they had keys and they presided. And you know, some of the nuanced I guess things that would imply. And so she talks about some of that. And I actually kind of appreciate this is interesting because I know for a long time, you know, in my mind, the idea of women having the priesthood has been just fundamentally like incomprehensible to me.
Right.
And we as a church, the culture is very, very much men have the priesthood and women are sort of the supportive role in that. And they have the prayer of faith and things to access priesthood power, but they don't have priesthood authority.
Yes. They don't have priesthood ordination.
Right.
That's the key kicker right there. Nor priesthood keys.
Now, the idea that Joseph Smith in the beginning days of the church intended a much more co-presiding sort of effort between men and women, is kind of fascinating to me, and it softens that stance for me a little, or that sort of digging in my head a little bit. Now, obviously, with Elder Oaks gave a wonderful talk a while ago, just saying, "Hey, this is where we're at right now. We have no intention of this changing," and I'm okay with that. But at the same time, it makes me a little bit more empathetic towards the ordained women sort of stance and the doctrines that they sort of read into and were excited about. So I mean, it's one of those that I think. It's one of those things that I think it would be good for us to consider and think through and read about, you know, what Joseph Smith was doing and why this was even a conversation. In no place does it say that he actually gave women the priesthood. It's all, like I said, very nuanced.
Yeah. Well, Fiona Givens, it seems, takes this idea as related to Jana Rees, that Joseph used the word preside quite a bit in referencing Emma Smith's role with the Relief Society. And as we know, of course, even the Relief Society today, the president there is not presiding over the president. The bishop is still, even if he's not there, so to speak, presiding over the Relief Society. And it goes down the chain in that sense. So I think sort of extrapolating from that he was clearly referencing turning over priesthood keys to actually preside over the Relief Society to Emma. And there's other parts of historical record that might indicate that. There's an element of conjecture here, to be sure, but it's not to say it's not worth a dive into the history of it to learn more about.
One of the other things that she sort of speaks on, not she doesn't make this claim, but she just tries to highlight some of the stuff that would speak to it, is the idea that the heavenly or the Holy Ghost was sometimes injunctured to be our heavenly mother.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've heard
which, you know, I mean, it's interesting. This is all the kind of stuff that like has no place in our salvation, right? Like this is not going to be the doctrine that gets us to become more like Jesus Christ and love others. But you know, before we come out with ultimatums or like broad sweeping statements about how things are, it might be good to get some a few points of view in our head where we can sort of consider all angles and see if there, you know, you sort of, it's sort of like, sure. I feel like a lot of this stuff is like the Apocrypha, where there's a lot of good in it and you should read it with the Spirit and form your own opinions on stuff. I think Brother Joseph would be proud.
Just like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
For sure.
The Marauder's Map.
And the Heavenly Mother stuff is very interesting to me, and I think it really got validated after the church even released one of the essays, one of the Gospel Topics essays about Heavenly Mother. Of course, there wasn't loads of information there because even we don't have lots of doctrines about her revealed, but I really only think it's been in the past not even 5 years that has turned around where it has become less taboo to even bring it up and want to talk about that, and that's a good thing. You know, I mean, obviously we can only knock away at it so much without having stuff revealed to us, but it's a good thing to look into.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you about the axiomatic article of the week, folks. This is from Deseret News National, which, as you know, is Deseret News' attempt to be relevant on the national stage. They're still trying.
I've heard of this.
This article is about how modern dads impact their children's religious views. You'll never believe the chart they show you from a proprietary Deseret News graphic. that says fathers with a close relationship with their kids improve the religiosity of the child in both religious tradition, religious intensity, and religious participation. So as the father engages in the child's life, the child itself grows in a different way, adhering perhaps more even to the father's traditions and what is taught.
So you're saying,
this
Jeff,
is radical.
That
radical,
when a dad is present in a child's life, it will impact them for the better?
That is, well, that is if you assume a religious upbringing is for the better, which I do. So yes. Yes.
Sweet, when sassy molasses.
When a dad gets involved and doesn't just spend his time hanging out, watching the game,
what
better
a jerk.
Things can happen. Yeah. Yeah. Turn off Euro 2016, everybody. Get some religiosity going. Very important study done, folks.
Thank
Very
you.
Important. I'm
Thank
glad
you.
We commissioned it.
That Euro yes. Cup, though, that UEFA. Oof. Wow.
Spain is, I can't believe Spain lost to Croatia. I'd have to play Italy.
For shame. Italy, That's the enough. Defensive powerhouse.
It's not.
Amazing.
I'm a little worried about the boys.
Elder Uchtdorf, seeing his comrade, Elder
this
Holland, put a Facebook video up, he was quick to it with a Facebook photo. Not quite as poignant, but still very meaningful. So he shared a photo of him sitting in his office chair holding up his cell phone. And then and we've actually talked about this before, of the idea of the Urim and Thummim being a little bit fantastical.
That's seer stones is what he refers to here, right? Not just the Urim and the Thummim, the rocks, the pebbles.
Yeah,
that's
right. That's right.
That's what we're getting at. Sorry, I'm not trying to.
Well, a little bit of both with an L, both of those. the idea though that like you could look into a stone and see, you know, the translation of the Book of Mormon of what or what it was supposed to read and how crazy that seems. And he holds up his cell phone right. And he's like, the idea that we could like instantaneous. Have you used Google, like the translate lens, the office lens thing?
Yeah.
Oh,
oh yeah.
And amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But like
crazy.
The idea that you could just hold up this tiny quarter of an inch thick piece of glass and read messages from space. Like we're totally okay with that. We're on board with that. But the idea that God could do something like that with elements of his own choosing, it's just too fantastical. And he just kind of talked about that where he's like, guys, be okay believing in this stuff. This is not so far-fetched. I mean, we are recreating it with gears and mechanisms inside of this stuff. Like, God could probably figure this out.
Yeah, and who's to say this hasn't been all done through the inspiration of God in the first place?
Did Uchtdorf beat Holland? I mean, no. No, he didn't Maybe. Get as many likes.
I mean, no. Not Well, he didn't get a million views.
That's...
But he did get nearly 10,000 shares. It's great reach. I mean, we've stopped Facebooking the brethren some time ago. I really should have kept that up over the years, you know, when we were tracking their Facebook growth. President Uchtdorf now has over 341,000 Facebook followers. It's fierce. By comparison, of course, Elder Renland only has 82,000 likes. I don't care if he's only been there for a few months. 6 months. Step it up.
Renland, we expect better. How do people not love you more?
Real quick bit of history here before in our final moments. This is from, of course, Peggy Fletcher Stack. So we don't know what kind of trouble she's trying to stir up by doing this. I'll leave that
great.
To you, dear listeners.
What's this one?
In July 1910, Mormon missionaries were expelled from Germany amid allegations they were recruiting women to become polygamous wives in Utah.
That actually happened. That move. It was most of the mission of there used to be a fourfold mission of the church. Succor the poor and like feed the hungry and bring people to Christ, but also get wives for Utah.
For polygamy, yeah. So the Brits contemplated this, and this is very relevant because, of course, Britain is contemplating its Brexit on Thursday.
How do you feel about the Brexit, Jeff?
Well, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but I think it would be an unmitigated disaster.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Going back to the pound?
They're already on the pound, Al.
Then why would they want to leave?
This isn't leaving the Euro. This is leaving the European Union. Different institutions.
Son of a gun.
But they're governed. The Euro is governed by the EU, but it's a separate deal. Anyway, a young man, future prime minister named Winston Churchill, was like, man, we got to look into these missionaries. So he actually had the Mormon missionaries investigated extensively. Whoa. Massive inquiry to see what they were up to, what's up with the proselytizing activities, how extensive, who are the men who conducted them?
This sounds like a Pink
teaching?
Panther plot.
It really was. So they thought that, you know, what if they're taking our women back to Utah as well? As you might imagine, spoiler alert, there was nothing exciting there. There was no kidnapping, as they say, no white slavery, no hypnosis of women. But it's a very interesting part of church history.
I feel like Peggy Fletcher Stack is just phoning it in at this point. Does she even care about these articles? Peggy. Anyway,
it's good. This is all going to be in a book, apparently. So that's half the fun.
All right. Well, we will spare you the awful Mormon dad jokes this
week.
Yeah,
fair enough. We'll skip. They're terrible, though.
They are really bad. But, Jeff, you know that if our listeners need to reach us, we are available to them 24/7.
Yeah, off and on. Off and
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I mean, not 24/7.
It's like when you have office hours
as a
professor.
7 by 4. 7 by 4.
But you share that office with somebody else, so there's no saying when you want to be there.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So, I mean, please email us, contact@thisweekinmormons.com. We got some great tips this week. Looking at you, Josh Felt. Thanks for the...
Josh, you know what? We don't always name everybody, but Josh Felt. Very reliable emailer with topics and
he's,
ideas.
He's there with the... With porn sniffing dogs and Trek disasters.
This could be any of you people. All you gotta do is email us. Or you can message us on our Facebook page, which is, of course, facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. You can even send a tweet at us, which some of you do. All of these things are possibilities. And
we look forward to reading them all with you.
I wish I could offer you some kind of exclusive thing for those of you who interact with us on social media.
Jeff will do a Facebook Live of his side of this conversation.
I'll turn on Facebook Live while I'm at work at my office. And you can just watch me stare at my monitors and type.
Monitors? I couldn't help but notice you dropped that plural.
I've got a grand total of about 5 different desktops going here, buddy. It's a
monitor.
You'd think I were a stockbroker or something, but no. I just really like a lot of Windows when I'm doing editing.
I respect that.
Oh, fair enough.
All right, man.
So yeah, social media. Join us. Leave a review on iTunes. Subscribe. Tell your friends. And do a solid.
Rate us on the iTunes.
Yeah, please do. Al, right. Have fun in Minneapolis, Al.
It's the only thing to do there, man.
Let me know how that Mighty Ducks tour goes.
The Great Mall of America.
Yeah, there's that, too. And you should go to the Capitol building in St. Paul.
Yeah,
go
maybe. Ahead. We'll see.
Cool. Yeah, okay. Great. All right. Cool.
See you, buddy.
Okay, everybody. All right. Have a great week. Talk to you later. This Week in Mormons is out.
This Week in Mormons. This Week in Mormons. This Week in Mormons. Original Mormon News Podcast. This Week in Mormons.
Oh,
This Week in Mormons.
The Original Mormon News Podcast.
This Week in Mormons.
Oh, yeah.
Take it away, Steve. See you, buddy.